Last week we began a series, Running the Race, just a three-part series on running the race. And you'll remember we looked at 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul uses the analogy of the runner. He uses the analogy of running the race. He uses the analogy of the boxer and different things, all about the fight, the challenge, the race that we're on, this Christian life. And remember, we looked at the fact that the Christian life is not just a casual stroll. It's not a meandering through the forest and, you know, looking at the birds. It's a race. There's a definite purpose to it. It's hard. It is something that we are challenged by every day, to walk out this Christian life, to run this Christian life, daily taking up our cross and following Jesus. Some people, though, feel, well, I became a Christian and I'm just going to carry on living my life as I did yesterday and just hope to stay out of trouble and, you know, hopefully one day I'll get to heaven. Well, that's not what we're called to. We're called to a life of purpose. Paul writes here in Romans 8, verse 13, "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." What Paul's saying is that by the Spirit, daily we put to death the deeds of the body. Daily we're putting to death the things that we once did, the things that don't bring life, the things that we struggle with. Daily we have to die to ourselves. That's what taking up our cross and doing that daily. It's not an easy thing. We have to kill our selfish desires every single day when we wake up. It's hard. It's a race. It's challenging. Most of us, though, don't like that. We think, well, you know, that's for somebody else. That's for the radical people. That's for those that really want to do this, you know. But I'm just going to do enough. No, we're called, all of us. If we're followers of Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit within us. We're called to all be in this race. And what it does is it requires us to be disciplined. It's discipline. Most of us, that word doesn't come across very easily, discipline. Well, that's for those, again, you know, like the analogy of the runner. Discipline is for those that want to train and want to work hard towards something. We're all called to discipline. We're all called to a life of discipline. So today I'm going to look at this passage in Romans 8. And as I'm sure Linda was reading it to you, you were thinking, how did that go again? What is he, the Spirit, the life, the flesh? It's very in-depth. This is Paul at his best. There's a lot of complexities in this passage. So we're going to look at that. We're going to skim through it. But then I'm going to look at four spiritual disciplines that we need to be walking out in our lives on a daily basis. Four that we need to be doing. There's many more, but I just want to highlight four of them today. Again, Romans 8 is just one of the most outstanding passages of Scripture. It has so much in it. I love Romans 8. And again, I think I challenged you to do this 18 months ago maybe. Read Romans 8 every day for a month and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal new things to you every day, and He will. There's more and more in it. It is like a mine you can keep going to every single day and you'll get something new. There'll be a new treasure in it. It's a wonderful chapter. It starts with, therefore. Now, our SBS students will know this. When you see therefore, what's it? Therefore, right? It's always, why is there therefore? What came before it that we have to look at? So therefore tells us something to look for. So we look back. We look at chapter 7. What is he talking about in chapter 7? Because obviously that's what he's pointing to. Well, chapter 7, Paul is referring to the law of God that God gave to Moses, and saying how the law is something that bound us. The law led to death because Jesus came and he set us free from the law. Jesus didn't come and abolish the law, though he came and fulfilled the law. So looking back at chapter 7, we read so much. Chapter 7, verse 25 says, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I find myself in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." He says that we are condemned. We are condemned by the law. How do we live this life if we're constantly looking at the law and we're condemned? And we are condemned. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of the wonderful news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, his death, his resurrection, we are set free from that condemnation. We no longer condemned by the law. Verse 1 and 2 that we read says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. We call to a new life. We call to a life that's completely new, but the key is it's a life led by the Spirit. And that's what I want to look at today a lot as we go through this. What is a life led by the Spirit? I'm not saying, well, we have to completely abolish all man-made laws. You know, well, we're free now. We have no laws. So we can go down the highway at 100 miles an hour if you want. There's no laws. I'm free. Christ has set me free. No, man-made laws, we still need to apply. But what we're saying is that the law brought condemnation. The law basically revealed to us that we cannot attain the righteousness of God by ourselves. We cannot do it by ourselves. We cannot work hard enough to attain the righteousness of God. We need to be led by the Spirit, though. In a daily walking and running this race, being led by the Spirit. Human nature is, though, that we want to make laws. Human nature is, you know, we love to build boundaries. So, for example, I'm at home and I'm cutting up an orange and I cut my finger. I think, well, that's bad. Knives are bad. Okay, in my house, no knives. We throw all the knives out because knives are bad. They cut you. And so from then on, that's the law in my house. No knives. Well, does that make any sense? Okay, we do that to young believers. People who come to know the Lord, we say, okay, well, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to stop doing that, we've got to cut out this, and we build these laws around them. Whereas in our mind, we're thinking, well, I'm discipling, I'm helping you, I'm encouraging you, I'm showing you what to avoid. But those sometimes come across as laws, and that's legalism. That's not the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. What we need to do is teach them how to be led by the Spirit. Let the Spirit reveal to them what boundaries they need to have in their own life. Verse 11 says the same thing. Verse 11 tells us, sorry, I've lost my track here again. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and me. We need to stop thinking. We need just to stop and think about that for a moment. The Spirit of God lives in you and me, those that truly follow and live for Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. This is a new life, our old way of thinking, the old way we thought about time and possessions and money and goals in life, that all goes by the wayside. We live a new life. We are led by the Spirit. We see things from a different perspective. We actually see things from a heavenly perspective, from an eternal perspective, because things mean so much more when you're led by the Spirit. But now if we have the Spirit of God living in us, verse 14 tells us something and takes it to a whole new level. Verse 14 says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Notice, and this is a very convicting verse. The Bible doesn't say, for those who maybe one day raised your hand in a crusade, or maybe one day you just said, yeah, I'll take a bit of Jesus and add him to my life, and I'm a Christian now. Or, you know, yeah, I came forward in a meeting, but my life hasn't changed. But I'm sure I'm a son of God. I'm sure I'm a child of God. Paul says here, only those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. Okay, we don't have time to get into all of that today, but that's very convicting, and I challenge you to just go home and meditate on that scripture and really ask yourself, am I truly being led by the Spirit of God? Do I know what that means? Because then, only then am I a child of God. So I'll leave that with you because maybe that's another Sunday. And it's very challenging. But then there's the unbelievable promise that follows on from that. is that we are called the children of God. I know we cannot grasp that. We cannot grasp what it means to actually be a child of God, to be adopted into the family of God. The creator of the universe adopts us as his children and says, "You're mine. I'm going to take care of you." Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that an amazing promise from Scripture? If it doesn't thrill you to your very core, you probably don't understand what that means. You probably don't understand what it means to be a son and a daughter of the creator of the universe. Verse 17 says, "And if children, we are heirs, heirs also of God and fellow heirs with Christ." So because we are children of God, we actually receive an inheritance, not just any inheritance. We receive an inheritance along with Jesus Christ. That's just incredible. These are promises of God's word. We don't know what that means, but it's wonderful. And it's an inheritance that we receive some of it now, but we receive most of it when Jesus comes again. We look forward to the day when Jesus comes in glory. Every day, though, we have to decide, because Jesus did everything for us to receive our inheritance. We have to, though, just simply die to ourselves. We have to say, "It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ. I'm going to be led by the Spirit. I'm going to do what you called me to do. I'm going to die to my selfish desires." And as a result, we get the inheritance. That's not the greatest thing, though. There's something even more incredible than that. The prize that we receive, the joy that we're going to receive one day, I'll talk about next week, is the glory of the Lord. And we'll share that. Our inheritance is wonderful, but that's not our goal. Our goal is to see the glory of the Lord. But then when we read verse 17, and this is where it gets, where Paul kind of, you know, Paul has the way of building up your hope and making it sound good, and then he kind of hits you with a, oh dear, that too. And then he does that again. You know, it's kind of a roller coaster ride. And he says in verse 17, "And if we're children, we're heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him."